Welcome to the Solomon Success Show, where we explore the timeless wisdom of King Solomon and the Bible as it relates to business and investing. False prophets and get-rich-quick schemes are everywhere. Let's not be distracted by these. Instead, let's go to the source, the eternal principles that create a life of peace, power, and prosperity. Here's our host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Solomon Success Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about biblical principles applied to business and investing, learning from King Solomon, of course. And we will be back with a fantastic guest for you in just a moment here. But be sure to visit our website, solomonsuccess.org or solomonsuccess.com. Take advantage of our extensive blog library and our free content. I think you'll find some fantastic things there. So be sure to visit us on the web at solomonsuccess.com.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about some cool new investor software, there's a show for that. If you want to learn why Rome fell, Hitler rose, and Enron failed, there's a show for that. If you want to know about property evaluation technology on the iPhone, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know how to make millions with mobile homes, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
It's my pleasure to welcome Craig Johnson to the show today. He is with Lakewood Church. He is the director of ministries with them, and he has a book out entitled Lead Vertically, Inspire People to Volunteer and Build Great Teams That Last. Craig, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. First of all, what an incredible success Lakewood Church is. If you'd give us a little bit of background, and I'm sure we're going to weave that through the interview as we talk about leadership, because there's a lot of leadership involved in that. Can you give us a little background on the church and so forth?
Yeah, the church was actually started a little over 50 years ago, and it was started by Joel's father and mother, Dodie and John Osteen. And they started the church actually in a little feed store. And for the first 15 to 20 years, they just stayed faithful, just kept on planning and developing and growing. But they didn't have huge success as far as huge growth, but they were just building a core. And then probably in the 70s and 80s, it began to grow more. Where they came to the point where right before his father died, they were around 6,000 people. They were in one of the roughest neighborhoods in Houston, really challenging to start a church there and plant a church there, but that's where they felt like they were called. And when Joel took over, he wasn't really expecting to be the pastor, or he'd never spoken before in his life. He had never done anything like this. He had always worked behind the scenes with his dad, but he just felt a real call to take the church when his father passed away. And his father always wanted him to, but Joel was a really shy guy, always saw himself behind the scenes. But you never know, when God puts you out in front, he doesn't worry about all of your qualifications. He just worries about whether you're willing to take the challenge. And so Joel stepped up in the pulpit and took the church. And in the beginning, he was just trying to maintain, but the church began to grow. And in the older facility, it was amazing. They grew to about 25,000. And then we moved to the place we're currently at, which is the former Compaq Center where the Houston Rockets played. And we're about 40,000 people that come weekly.
Do you consider 40,000 the congregation size, or that's the attendee size for weekly?
Yeah, that's the attendance size weekly that come to the church. And so, yeah, if you looked at membership or you looked at people that called Lakewood their home, that could be more in the 100,000 range plus.
And that's got to be easily the largest church in the nation, right?
That's correct. Yeah, as of right now, it's the largest church in the nation.
What an incredible story. What an incredible story. You know, I recently finished Your Best Life Now, Joel's book, Your Best Life Now, and it was amazing just hearing a little bit of the background on Lakewood and what you've done there. And that is all about leadership. So tell us about Lead Vertically, and this just looks like a great book here. Give us some insights into leadership here.
Yeah, well, when I came to Lakewood, you know, what was happening at Lakewood had never been done before. I mean, it never happened before in America. And so I think when God moves and he does something that's so far beyond what we could ask, think, or imagine. And so when I came here, I'd never seen so many people coming in and so many people coming in from so many different backgrounds. So, you know, my leadership skills and what I'd known to do in the past in working with a team or working with the staff changed dramatically here because I was dealing with dynamics that I hadn't dealt with before. So Lead Vertically really talks about the journey of how we developed leaders and developed teams here at Lakewood and how we really had to depend upon God to show us every step of the way how to respond. And, you know, people ask Joel and they might ask myself, how'd all this happen? And you know, lots of times we take leadership ideas and we try to build on that. You know, if we had 250, you know, we'll shoot for 550, and that's a goal. But what I find with God is that God may move you to a whole different direction, a whole different plane, a whole different level. And it's really that dependence upon God to show you how to do it and when to respond.
So in building Lakewood, and I mean, this is mostly about volunteerism. Is that correct? I mean, I assume those leadership principles apply in any leadership situation, right?
Yeah, no, it's a combination. It is about volunteerism, but it is about how we worked with our staff, how we developed new ideas with our team, how we developed the church as a whole.
And when you talk about vertical leadership as opposed to horizontal leadership, what do you mean with a vertical leadership?
Well, for instance, I mean, when you take leadership ideas, people will come to Lakewood and they'll say things like this. They'll say, "Tell me how you did it." And the truth of the matter is, we don't know exactly how we did it. We didn't do it because we know that God did it. But what we did do was we depended upon God. We looked up. Leading vertically is looking up and saying, God, what would you say here? How would you respond to this situation? How would you build this person? How would you develop this team? And so from that, we were able to take principles of what God showed us in something that had never been done before. So we kind of responded to what God had shown us. And Lead Vertically, you're taking people on a whole different plane, a whole different level. You're taking people at a level that maybe they've never broken through that wall or they've never crossed that mountain before. It's something where they've never been before. And what I find with leadership principles a lot of times is, you know, if it's been written in a book, you know, lots of times that's been done before, but what if you're facing something that's never been done before? And so that's what really Leading Vertically is to looking at that exceedingly abundantly, that something that's never been done before in your situation, in your place. If you're wanting to find that, to be able to do that, how do you respond? And that's what Lead Vertically talks about.
Your comment when we first started talking, Craig, reminded me of the Gideon story in the Bible where you said God doesn't really care if you're qualified, just cares if you're willing. And you've got a chapter in the book, The Heart of a Child, but the Will of a Warrior. Tell us about that.
Yeah, The Heart of a Child and Will of a Warrior is really, in a way, really centers around how Joel, our pastor, leads, you know, and how it's really passed down to us. Joel is very childlike in who he is and how he leads. He's probably one of the most loyal people I've ever met in my life. With his team, with his family, Joel will go the extra mile with any leader. He's very childlike in his approach, you know, where as adults, you know, lots of times we can get convoluted with so many things that we learned. Joel has that fresh approach where he believes that God can do anything in any situation, and he's not weighed down by those things. So So Joel's leadership has that heart of a child, but then there's a second part to his leadership, and it's that will of a warrior. A heart of a child is willing to accept any plan that God gives him and not fight it, but accept it. But a will of a warrior is willing to see that plan through to the end.
And so any examples that you want to share about problems? I know that there was a big problem with the media contracts for the church at one point. I read about that in Your Best Life Now. And that will of a warrior, I mean, give us some examples about that, if you would, whether it, you know, involves Lakewood or just people in everyday life, any kinds of examples.
Yeah, well, let me give you an example of my own personal life. When I came to Lakewood, about a year and a half into it, I found, you know, they basically brought us in to help us go into the compact center, and there were tremendous responsibilities, and it was exciting, and everything that was taking place. And about a year and a half into it, I found out that my child, Connor, we found out that he was just changing, and later the diagnosis came that he was diagnosed with autism. And I thought I was coming to Lakewood to minister to people. I had no idea I was coming to Lakewood to be ministered to. And it was that grace, that faith in believing and not becoming victimized, you know, by my situation, but receiving what God had for me. And I just used to listen to Joel's messages over and over again. You know, you're a victor, not a victim. You know, you can do all things through Christ. And we began to just soak that in. And when we found out about Connor, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what autism was. We didn't know. We were just trying to do our job here. And it was during those times that God really showed us how to be a warrior. And I remember one time, just as an example, I was driving home, and I asked God. I said, God, would you know, bring us here? Why did this happen? Not why did we have Connor, but why is Connor going to have to go through all these things? And God just spoke to me and said, you're looking at things wrong. And I said, what do you mean? And I'm just, you know, it was an audible conversation, but he said your child is not a burden. Your child is a gift. And I go, what do you mean? He can't even ask for a drink of water. And God just kind of spoke to me and said, I'm going to use your son to reach thousands of people. What you don't see right now is that your child is not a burden. He's going to be a gift, and he's going to help many people. I said, God, how can a child with autism help a lot of people? And he just said something simply to me. He said, do you trust me? And that's really a will of a warrior right there, is do you trust God to work through whatever challenge that you're going to face as a leader, to work for whatever challenge you're going to face in your business, in your personal life, whatever it is. And I didn't understand that at the time, but shortly after that, we had a miracle happen in our bedroom, where we put our son to bed every night. My son had never put together one sentence before in his life. And my wife called me from upstairs, and she said, you won't believe this. All of a sudden last night, or tonight, Connor just began talking. He just began to speak. And she goes, Connor, say it. And where he had never put a sentence together, he began to say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. So he began to say this whole paragraph, and that was something that Joel
He always
up.
Says that, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. How old was he at the time?
He was 5 years old, and the powerful thing with that was I spoke at Lakewood about that on the Wednesday night, and Joel was touched by it, that in a couple weeks later, he actually told about that miracle of Connor, and that video went viral all across the world, and people from Cambodia with special needs schools started seeing Connor shirts that said Conqueror and Overcomer, and it just went viral. And I remember just being at Chicago White Sox Stadium at America's Night of Hope, and they shared Connor's story, and 50,000 people responded, and God just reminded me, said, remember when you were sitting in the car asking me why?
Amazing, amazing story. How old is Connor now?
Connor's 8 years old.
So that was 3 years ago. Fantastic story. Just awesome. That is very inspiring. You talk about the influence of inspiration. Tell us more.
Yeah, the influence of inspiration is really an approach where, you know, you've got to change your thinking. Some people think that when it comes to inspiring people, that's something you have to work yourself up to do. And what I found is that when you get around other people that inspire you, it's really around who you hang around, what you listen to, what you put in your mind, what you put in your heart and everything. It really begins to flush out in everything that you do. And when I came to Lakewood, I couldn't believe, you know, just being in a place like this, how encouraging it was. What we were going through with our son, I mean, it was like life to us. It was like hope, you know, hearing these messages all the time. And it wasn't by people that were making it up. You know, it was by people that actually lived it out. And we started looking at things differently and responding to things differently. And it's kind of like when people ask us, they'll ask me, tell me what the difference is between Lakewood and other places. And I say, well, you know, at a lot of places, people will, you know, pastors or leaders, they'll challenge you. And there's nothing wrong with challenging people, but you can get two responses. One could be a response of welcoming, okay, they accept, you know, the challenge that you give them. But another response could be defensiveness. But at Lakewood, we encourage people. And usually you won't get a negative response from encouraging someone, and you can still get the same results. And so it's that influence of inspiration that we're constantly trying to encourage. We're constantly trying to build up. What can we say? How can we help somebody in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, great, great point. Dream makers and dream breakers, are you referring to people or situations or both?
Yeah, I'm referring to those people in your lives who you have around you that influence, that maybe, you know, you have a relationship with. And you know, I've had people in my life where dream breakers are those that say, no, you can't, there's no way. You know, they're constantly feeding you with these things of how you can't make it, how you can't do it. But a dream maker is somebody that they believe in you. They not only believe in you, but they're as interested in your dreams as they are their own. And when you get around dream makers, what I found is when you become a dream maker is, you know, I'm not just interested in my dreams becoming true. Jason, what if I could help your dreams to come true? And in that, what I found that God does is that when you help others, God will build you. When you build others, God will build you. And so I've just learned the power of being a dream maker and not a dream breaker.
Very, very important. So why is it that the goal is never more important than the person?
The goal is never more important than the person because the person helps you reach the goal. And so many times as leaders, we skip over our people to try to make that sales quota, or we skip over our people to try to reach that goal. And what we forget a lot of times is that if you can really invest in your people, they'll help you not only reach that goal, but they'll give you longevity in the goals to come. And most of my time as a leader is really spent investing in my team. I spend a lot of time just pouring into my team because I know as a team we can accomplish more things than just trying to reach a goal on my own. And so the goal is never more important than the person because the person helps you reach the goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important point. Talk to us a little bit about reputations and money.
Yeah, reputations are important because of influence. Joel says this, you know, a lot of times, he'd rather have influence than have money, because with influence, you can create not only money, but you can create so many different other things through your relationships. And so having that influence, having that person that is able to build those relationships, develop those things with people, it's a powerful tool. And so when we look at influence and having that reputation that somebody wants to be around, somebody respects, somebody wants to invest in, that's a powerful thing. And so we teach our leaders that you're, the most important asset you have is your influence. And so you have to keep your reputation up to keep that influence going.
Yeah, very, very good point. When you say that people should become a student of human behavior, I mean, certainly many people are, some aren't, but there are many fields of human behavior. Of course, psychology, but, you know, psychology has its limits and its critics, too, at least modern psychology. When you talk about being a student of human behavior, to what are you referring?
I'm willing to get the best out of my team. And, you know, human behavior a lot of times is influenced by culture, attitudes, emotions, values, ethics, you know, authority, genetics, even. And lots of times I see leaders get frustrated with their team because the truth of the matter is they don't really know their team. They are building off of a goal or an idea or a vision, and that's fantastic. But what becoming a student of human behavior means for me is I can find out how each of my team members tick. I can find the best approaches to bring the best out of them. And so I'm looking to see what makes them tick and what makes one person tick maybe different. And becoming a student of human behavior is finding out how I can bring the best out of that person for the overall goal and for our overall corporation. So it's very important to look at that because each team member is likely to come from a different background with different influencers in their life. So your goal is to get them completely on your team and going towards the vision that you've got laid out. So becoming that student of human behavior helps me bring the best out of my team.
So with volunteers, though, I mean, you know, certainly one has to maybe deal with a volunteer pretty differently than an employee, for example. I mean, volunteers are there and they're giving their time away to the cause, to the mission. Can you contrast any differences there between volunteers and maybe employees or other people in our lives as well?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think with employees, yes, it's their job. And with volunteers, you don't ever want them to feel like their volunteering is a job. You want them to feel like that they're making an impact. And if a volunteer feels like they're making an impact, then they'll stay in there with you and volunteer and be a part of what you're doing. But I think, you know, a lot of times it does cross over because, you know, if I've got an employee and all they feel like they're doing is pushing paper, and they're not really making an impact, that their contribution isn't making an impact in the overall company, I think there's a parallel there. And when we look at volunteers and even our staff, my investment in them, how I pour into them, it is very important to seeing the longevity and what comes back from that volunteer, from that leader in their work and how they respond to things. For instance, I used to do business meetings, and I would do business meetings for 2 hours, and this is with our staff, and then we actually translated this over to our team meetings with our volunteers. And I used to do 2 hours of business, and I would see our leaders walk out of those business meetings. Although it was exciting, there were different tasks and stuff like that that were exciting, I didn't see them inspired. And then God just kind of spoke to me and said, you're letting the spiritual flow out of the business rather than the business flow out of the spiritual. What that meant was it's my job to encourage them, to inspire them, to spur them on. So we started taking a different approach to our business meetings where the first part we would pray and then for 10 minutes. And the next 10 minutes we had an accountability time where we shared a personal need, a ministry need, and then a praise report, you know, some type of good thing that happened. And then I would take about 20 minutes just to speak into the life, something inspirational, something uplifting. And then we would do business. You know, we'd take care of the business. What I found was that where it was taking me 2 hours to do business before, I could get the same business done in an hour because their approach to that business was totally different than if we had just talked about tasks and talked about the business of the day. They were ready to receive, and so they responded differently.
So that's a matter of commitment based on fulfillment? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when they felt inspired, they approached the business of what we were doing in a different way. And so they didn't walk out there with another task, another job to do. And I'm talking about whether that's a volunteer or a staff member. They didn't walk out there with another task. They actually felt inspired to do the task, to do the job. And so it was a huge change where now where my staff, they might not have been as excited about staff meetings before. Now it's one of the number one things that they look forward to because they know they're not going to just do the business of the day. They're going to be inspired as well.
Yeah, fantastic point. When does a team become a family?
Well, one of the things that I've really learned here is that, you know, you can have acquaintances in your business or you can have acquaintances in your church and with your staff and your team, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with having acquaintances. You can be a team. And that's even better when you become a team and you work on things there within your business or your church and you're really becoming a team and gelling together. But when a team becomes a family, you care as much about those employees outside of the job as you do inside the job. And what we try to do in leading vertically and how would God respond to things and how would God do, you know, we found that most people that drop out of volunteerism or even people that struggle within our workforce, lots of times it's not always things that are happening on the job. It's things that are happening outside the job. And we just started caring for our team outside of the job as much as we cared for them inside the job. And so, for instance, when we had a hurricane that happened a few years back, our entire team was calling each and every person, checking on them. We were bringing food over to them, helping them in any way that we could because they were as important to us outside of the church as they were inside the church. And that's really where when a team becomes a family.
Fantastic. Well, Craig, where can people get the book and learn more, of course, about Lakewood as well?
They could go to a couple places. One, they can go to Amazon.com and just put in Craig Johnson Lead Vertically. And then secondly, they can go to lakewood.cc and find out more about the church and find out more about our ministry. And they can also follow me on Twitter, CraigJohnson5.
Fantastic. Well, Craig Johnson, author of Lead Vertically, Inspire People to Volunteer, Build Great Teams That Last. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was an honor. Thank you so much.
Want to know what you've missed in the Creating Wealth series? Well, here's your opportunity with Jason's 5-book set. That's shows 1 through 100 through digital download. You save $288 by getting this 5-book set. Learn all of the advanced strategies for wealth creation. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.